Vimes was already lost. He turned and shoved his way through grey aisle after grey aisle of suffocating cloth and wondered if anyone had ever died in here and how anyone could ever find their way out. He pulled aside a hanger containing a greasy, threadbare suit. "Are you want?" He turned. There was no one there, until his gaze fell slightly and met that of a small, glossy little man, totally bald, very small, and thin, and wearing some vague clothing that presumably even a shonky shop hadn't been able to unload on a customer. Who was he? Who was he? Surprisingly, the name seemed quite fresh in the memory.
Mr. Shine?
Sunshine Sun, said Mr. Soon.
He grabbed the suit Vimes was still holding.
Good eye, good eye. Lovely cloth, lovely cloth. Owned by priest, very good. 50 pence to you. Shame to sell it. Times are hard.
Vimes hastily put the suit back on the rack and pulled out his badge. Soon glared at it.
I pay already other copper, he said. $1, 1 month, no trouble. Already I pay other copper.
Pay? Said Vimes.
Toe-stripe copper, already I pay. $1, 1 month, no trouble.
Corporal Quirk, muttered Vimes.
You don't have to pay coppers, Mr. Soon. We're here for your protection.
Despite his barely basic grasp of the language, Mr. Soon's expression suggested very clearly that the 3-stripe, 1-crown copper in front of him had dropped in from the planet Idiot.
Look, I haven't got time for this, said Vimes. Where's the back door? This is watch business. I pay. I pay protection. 1 month, no trouble.
Vimes grunted and set off along another narrow, cloth-lined tunnel. A glint of glass caught his eye, and he sidled crabwise up a choked aisle until he found a counter. It was piled with more hopeless merchandise, but there was a bead-curtained doorway behind it. He half-clambered, half-swam over the piles and scrambled into the tiny room beyond. Mr. Soon pushed his way to an ancient tailor's dummy. It was so scratched, chipped and battered, it looked like something dug up from the volcanic ash of an ancient city. He pulled on an arm, and the eyes lit up.
Number 3, here, he said into its ear. He's just gone through, and boy, is he angry!
The back door was locked, but yielded under the weight of Vimes's body. He staggered into the yard, looked up at the wall separating this greasy space from the temple's garden, jumped, scrabbled his boots on the brickwork and dragged himself onto the wall, feeling a couple of bricks crumble away underneath him. He landed on his back and looked up at a thin, robed figure sitting on a stone seat.
"Cup of tea, Commander," said Sweeper, cheerfully.
"I don't want any damned tea," shouted Vimes, struggling to his feet.
Sweeper dropped a lump of rancid yak butter in the tea bowl beside him.
"What do you want, then, Mr. Vimes, with the very helpful feet?" "I can't deal with this, you know what I mean."
"You know, some tea really would calm you down," said Sweeper.
"Don't tell me to be calm. When are you going to get me home?"
A figure stepped out of the temple. He was taller, heavier man than Sweeper, white-haired and with the look of a good-natured bank manager about him. He held out a cup. Vimes hesitated a moment and then took the cup and poured the tea out on the ground.
"I don't trust you," he said. "There could be anything in this. I can't imagine what we could put in tea that would make it any worse than the way you normally drink it," said Sweeper calmly. "Sit down, Your Grace, please."
Vimes sagged onto the seat. The rage that had been driving him sank a little too, but he could feel it bubbling. Automatically, he pulled out a half-smoked cigar and put it in his mouth.
"Sweeper said you'd find us one way or another," said the other monk. "So much for secrecy."
"Why should you worry?" said Vimes. "You can just play around with time and it won't have happened, right?"
"We don't intend to do that," said the other monk.
"What could I do anyway? Go around telling everyone that those loony monks you see in the streets are some kind of time shifters? I'd get locked up. Who are you anyway?"
This is Q," said Sweeper, nodding at the other monk. "When the time comes, he'll get you back, but not yet."
Vimes sighed. The anger had drained, leaving only a hopeless, leaden feeling. He stared blankly at the strange rockery that occupied most of the garden. It looked oddly familiar. He blinked.
"I've been talking to people today who are going to die," he said. "How do you think that makes me feel? Do you know what that feels like?"
The monks gave him a puzzled look.
Yes,
said Q.
"We do," said Sweeper. "Everyone we talk to is going to die. Everyone you talk to is going to die. Everyone dies."
"I've been changing things," said Vimes, and added defensively,
"Well, why shouldn't I? Carceries? I have no idea how things are going."